Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, I am a romantic and a traditionalist when it comes to Christmas. I love Christmas. I like the traditional Bing Crosby, Norman Rockwell view of Christmas. I've dreamed my entire life of a white Christmas. And in East Texas as a kid, that never, ever happened. It was never even cold on Christmas. And I still built a fire for my whole family on Christmas Day. And we were hot, unwrapping presents. But it didn't matter. Because that's what Christmas should be like. Christmas Eve is my favorite night of the year. And it was as a child because we always went to Mama and Papa's house on Christmas Eve. And they lived on a farm and everything about it was like an old-fashioned Christmas. My Mama made every single person in the family. She made their favorite food, and the tables literally groaned with food, and then we groaned after we ate the food. And they never bought a tree. They always went out in the woods and cut down a tree about 2 days before Christmas, and they decorated it with those big glass balls. Do you remember those? And there were always less after Christmas than there were before Christmas. And they also put on it those huge outdoor lights. That's what they wrapped around the tree. They were so hot, if you got anywhere near the tree, you would get burned. But then, the piece de resistance. We even say that in East Texas. Tinsel. How many people remember tinsel? In our ultra-safe environment today, I doubt that any children know what tinsel is, but how much fun was that to take wads of stringy, silver, shiny things and throw them in the air as they fell across the tree. That was Christmas at my mama's house on Christmas Eve, and it was great. And we had no snow, but we still would go outside and we would look for Santa because there were only two houses on this little road out in the country, and the one next door belonged to the Swillies, and Cleburne was the sheriff of Polk County. And so about 9 o'clock on Christmas Eve night, he would get in his car and it had the spotlight attached to the window, and he would shine the spotlight up in the air, and we would all go out on the porch and we would look for a sleigh with 8 tiny reindeer. Christmas Eve, it's such a wonderful night, and I would go back and I would reclaim those days and those nights every year back to a time when I was innocent. And when things were simple and magical, back to a time where I did not realize how exhausted my mama was from making this such a great night. But my mama did it because she was for us. She was for the whole family. She did everything she did because she was for us. And we are in a Christmas series looking at the stories of Christmas. Today we're going to be in Revelation, a place you might not expect a Christmas story. But we're going to learn today that our God is for us. Well, let's start with a song. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. That's the traditional Christmas carol view, a beautiful, calm night with a bright star that is illuminating a peaceful scene, a young mother who is looking down with a smile on her face as she holds her son all wrapped up in swaddling clothes, safe and warm. A young father who is standing to the side, beaming with pride, as he looks down on his new family. There are cattle and there are sheep, and they are huddled up close, contentedly chewing their cud. There are shepherds who've come in from the field, and they are kneeling reverently before their newborn king. There are wise men fresh from a long journey, offering gifts to the babe that they found by following a star. And all of this is taking place in the cleanest stable that you have ever seen. It's a bright scene of peace and calm, and a scene that we love to go back to, a scene that we love to sing about, a simple and an innocent scene, but it's a scene that really doesn't tell the whole story. That scene doesn't tell how exhausted Mary was after riding a donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and then a long night of giving birth. That scene doesn't tell how worried Joseph was about his bride and this newborn baby. That scene does not tell about the frantic search for a room only to be turned away again and again and again. That scene doesn't tell about finally finding a cave that was full of animals. That scene doesn't tell about raking out fouled hay so that Mary would have a place to lay down, of the hours of agony that she gave birth with no help but Joseph, who I'm sure wasn't much help at all. That scene doesn't tell about cleaning out a trough so that the baby would have a place to lay. But there's even another layer to the story. A story written in the book of Revelation. A story that tells us that God is for us. And we need to hear that story, because life isn't always clean and bright. A few years ago, we were all shocked and dismayed. Less than 2 weeks before Christmas, when there were horrific murders at an elementary school at a place called Sandy Hook in Newtown, Connecticut. And moments like that break in to our routine. They demand our attention. Moments like that dissolve the facade of harmony and sanity that we try to create in our world. Moments like that shock us, and even more so when they happen that close to Christmas. Because nothing about the scene at Newtown fits the scene at Bethlehem. And when we are faced with those kinds of moments, they are hard for us to process. They are hard for us to comprehend. They raise questions from within us, questions that ask why, and questions that ask how, questions that look at heaven and ask God, where are you? How could you allow this to happen? How could a good God allow bad things to happen to innocent children? And it's not just national tragedies that cause us to ask those questions. It's personal tragedies. If we're honest, these questions are in the back of our minds more often than we really want to admit. When bad things happen to us, when life takes a turn that we weren't expecting and that we really don't care for, when disease and disappointment and death rear their ugly heads and we ask God, where are you and why did you allow this to happen and why did you do this? I thought you loved me. I thought that you were for me. And philosophers and professors and politicians and, yes, even preachers try to answer those questions. And we always fall short, because in most of those answers, we fail to tell the story of Christmas that we find in Revelation. The Christmas scene that we love is silent night, calm and bright, but that scene doesn't answer our questions. And our questions are real. But Revelation's scene does answer the questions, because, you see, it is not God who is against us. God is for us, but there is one who is against us. And we see behind the mother and behind the baby and behind the stable another scene from Revelation chapter 12. A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. And she was pregnant and she cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign in heaven. An enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. And the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment that it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. And then there follows a song of praise to the child. But the end of the song says this, a little further down in Revelation 12. Rejoice, you heavens and all who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows his time is short. And where does he turn his attention? A little further, then the dragon was enraged and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. That's a very different Christmas scene than the one that we normally sing about. See, the story of Christmas as told in the Gospels reminds us that we have a Savior who loves us so much that He came into the world for us, that He is good and He is kind, that He is with us, and that every good thing has its origin in Him. But the Christmas story from Revelation reminds us that we have an enemy. And he is strong, and he is powerful, and he is evil. And he has angels, we call them demons, who do his bidding. And he is set against us. And his purpose is to destroy us. And every evil thing has its origin in him. And the reality is that if we are going to live and survive in this world with faith and with endurance, then we absolutely must know the whole Christmas story. That we must know both Christmas scenes, because the beautiful story of a baby being born is really the story of a king here on purpose. A king who is setting in motion an invasion of enemy-held territory. And what looked like a simple and a beautiful scene in a manger was really so much more. The birth of Jesus was a rescue mission. God broke into this world controlled by an enemy who is against us. He broke in to save us because God is for us. And the baby grew and he became a man. And he gave his life for us, and he defeated our enemy by his self-sacrifice on a cross, and God raised him to new life and to triumph and to victory, and God went to war for us because God is for us, and it all began with the birth of a baby. And so when those moments of evil come, and they surely will come, and when they strike our nation, when they strike our family, when they strike you, when you can't make sense out of what is going on, and when you are in shock and you ask God why and you ask God how, and when you want to know if God is for you, I encourage you to remember Revelation's Christmas story. Look behind the silent night, calm and bright, and look and see the great lengths that God went to for you. Because see, that's one of the things that I love the most about our God. The great lengths that He has gone to for us. Not just the great length from heaven to earth. Not just the great length from the cross to the grave. But the great length that our God goes to every single day for us. Because He loves us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? See, the Revelation story makes it clear that there is someone who is against us. But our God is greater than our enemy. In fact, He is so great. Here's what I love about our God. He is so great that He can take, and He will take, every single thing that our enemy sets against us. God will take it, and He'll end up using it for us. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what the devil comes up with. It doesn't matter what Satan throws at us. God can catch it, and God can turn it around, and God can use it for our good, because He is for us. Lisa Turkhurst found that out. Lisa Turkhurst is a Christian writer. She's the head of a ministry for women called Proverbs 31 Ministries. And one of her books is entitled, It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. Now, I don't know which came first, the book title or what happened in Lisa's life, but her life certainly turned in a way that fulfilled the title of the book. It's not supposed to be this way. After 25 years of marriage, after years of being in the spotlight as a follower of Jesus, Lisa and her husband went through a divorce because of his years of infidelity and substance abuse. And it was devastating to her, to her family, to her ministry. But Lisa endured. She never lost her faith or her belief that God was for her. She had questions. Don't ever think that because you ask the question means that you don't think God is for you anymore. She asked the questions, but she endured and she was faithful because she believed that God was for her. And that God was for her husband. And this last summer, after over a year of separation, God, in His infinite mercy and grace, redeemed and restored their marriage. Here's what she said. In the middle of the work He did, from the devastation in my marriage, nothing looked like I hoped and everything felt impossible. I love this line. I prayed a million suggestions to God that never ever came to be. And the number of tears shed in the process about leaked the life out of me. But all the while, when I saw nothing, God was doing something. In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His promise. If God is for us, who can be against us? Brothers and sisters, friends, I don't know everything that's going on in your life. I don't know everything that's happened in your life. I don't know what's happening in your life. But I imagine that somewhere along the way you've uttered the words, it's not supposed to be this way. And you know what? It's not. But we have an enemy. And he's here and he's present and he's active. And he's turned his attention to us. He is against us. But we have a Savior. And he is here. And he is present. And he is active. And he has turned his attention to us. Because he is for us. So when you experience the reality of an enemy, and when you ask the questions, the real question is, how will you go on? How will you respond? How will you handle that? We begin with a song and we'll end with a song. It's called Mary's Song, Magnificat. It's recorded in Luke chapter 1, and I guess you could say it's the very first Christmas carol, but it isn't sweet and innocent like the ones that we sing today, because Mary had at least a veiled idea of the story behind the story. Simeon told her that this child would be the cause for the rise and fall of many in Israel, and that because of him, a sword would pierce Mary's soul as well. And so her song knows both sides of the story. And it speaks of the mighty deeds that the mighty one will do, that he will scatter those who are proud, that he will bring down rulers from their thrones. But what I want you to see is how Mary responded to the Christmas story that she found herself in, because it wasn't a clean and bright story. It was an embarrassing story of a child conceived out of wedlock. It was a marriage that almost ended before it ever began. It was a long journey when she was 9 months pregnant. It was giving birth in a barn. It was the promise of incredible pain to come because of this son. That was the story that Mary found herself in. And when the angel of the Lord revealed his battle plan to her, her first question was, how can this be? And the angel answered, no word from God will ever fail. Now I want you to let that sink in. No word from God will ever fail. Do you believe that? Do you have that kind of faith? That no word from God will ever fail, no plan from God will ever fail. This word and plan from God will never fail. And Mary did believe. And she stepped into the story and she replied, I am the Lord's humble servant. May your word be fulfilled. And so I ask you this morning, as we see this story behind the story, and as we see the reality of an enemy who is against us, and as we know each personally the story that we have stepped into, will you respond like Mary? Will you respond like Mary to a story and a plan that in many ways is beyond your understanding? Will you believe that no word from God will ever fail, no matter who is against it? And you ask, well, how do I do that? And I think, first of all, you acknowledge that there is an enemy and that there is a war raging, and that in reality, much of our life is not the way that it was supposed to be. That terrible things do happen, that all is not silent night, clean and bright. And then after you acknowledge that reality, you pick a side. It's really about as simple and profound as that. You pick a side. You decide whose side you're going to be on. And I encourage you this morning, if you haven't done so, to pick God's side. Put your faith, your complete faith and trust in Him, because He's the one who is for you. I encourage you to choose Jesus and to join forces with Him, to fight with Him against our enemy, and to emerge confidently as the victor. We have been made more than conquerors, because in Christ, your victory and my victory, just like Peter's victory, is confidently assured. There are still going to be battles. There are still going to be tragedies. There are still going to be injuries. There are still going to be casualties. But from the moment that God became a baby, the end has never been in doubt. And so we're going to sing Mary's song. And if there is any way that we can pray for you and minister to you, because very possibly for you right now, it's not supposed to be that way, we want to do that. And Elmer and Linda, I believe, will be in this room to your right. Let's sing Mary's song.